بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our seventh session. Reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Level 4, Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And in today's session, inshallah, we hope and intend with the help of Allah to complete Lesson 19, which is the second lesson from the Level 4 course, the second half of Medina Book 3. This is the second lesson from the Level 4 course, Lesson 19. Inshallah, this is our third session with this lesson, and hopefully today we're going to complete it. And I guess everybody has received notice that we're going to be starting the class from now on, any 30 minutes later than we had been starting before. So instead of 3 o'clock until 4:30, we're going to be going from 3:30 until 5 o'clock today. We may finish a little early because the Maghrib prayer for me is a few minutes before 5. So I'm going to try to finish before the Adhan of Maghrib so I can get to the Masjid for the Adhan. In any case, we don't have a lot to finish today, so that shouldn't be a problem. From the suggested or proposed schedule for homework assignments, what I suggested was that we review the English key, especially points 2 to 11. I think I wrote the page numbers wrong. It should have been pages 82 to 85. In any case, review the English key, especially points 2 to 11, because point number 1, we finished the exercises related to that. And the remaining exercises from 8 until 11, until 19, are all covered in the English key from points 2 to 11. So hopefully everybody had a chance to review them. I'm going to quickly review those points, the whole of the English key, but just very, very briefly. And then we're going to go straight to exercise number 8, Lam al-Muzahlaqa, and then the particle Qad, and the plural of Dhu, Dhawu, and the difference between Lakin and Lakinna, and so on. Alright, so let's get right into the quick review of the points of the English key, especially points 2 to 11. On page 81 of the English key for lesson 19. In this lesson, we learn the following. The first point is what we have completed already, the exercises for it, is bab fa'ala. In this bab, an aleph is added after the first radical. Yani after the fa, an aleph is added to form this type of verb from bab fa'ala, like qabala, sa'ada, hawala, and so on. The mudari, since this verb is made up of four letters, we said that in the past tense when a verb has four letters, then the mudari prefixed letter, the ya, the ta, the noon, or the hamza, called harf al-mudara'a, the harf al-mudara'a is going to take dhamma. So from, for example, qabala, we're going to get yuqabilu. From qabala, we're going to get yuqabilu, yusa'idu, yuhawilu, and so on. The fi'l amr is formulated by omitting the harf al-mudari'a. The prefix letter is taken out, and the case ending becomes sukoon. So, from tuqabilu, get rid of the tu, you have qabilu, get rid of the dhamma, and the fi'l amr is qabil, qabil. Sa'id, hawil, and so on. The masdar for this bab fa'ala has two masdars. One of them is the pattern of mufa'ala. Like from sa'ada, you got musa'ada. From qabala, you got muqabala. The other pattern for the masdar is fi'al, the pattern of fi'al. So from jahada, you get jihad. From nafaqa, you get nifaq, and so on. The ism fa'il and ism maf'ul are formulated from the mudari form. So from rasala, yu rasilu, you just change the yu to mu, the prefix letter, the mudari letter becomes mu. And the since it's a noun, yani the ism fa'il and ism maf'ul are nouns, so they take tanween. So from yu rasilu, you get murasilun. From yu shahidu, mushahidun. The ism maf'ul is just like the ism fa'il, except that the second radical, yani in the ism fa'il, takes kasra. In the ism maf'ul, it takes fatha. So from yuraqibu, yani the ism fa'il is muraqibun, اسم مفعول مراقب. The noun of place and time is the same as the ism maf'ul, yani with fatha on the second radical. The second point of this lesson, we're going to be looking at exercises for this today. The first exercise we're going to be doing is with this, what is known as al-lam al-muzahlaqa. So in the English key, they mentioned that previously we had learned about the lam al-ibtida, as in labaytuka ajmal, indeed your house is more beautiful. Now, if we want to use inna as a second particle of emphasis in the sentence, then this lam that was on the mubtada now has to be moved down to the khabar, and now becomes known as lam al-muzahlaqa, the displaced lam, and this is for extra emphasis, double emphasis. Okay, because the sentence with both inna and lam is more emphatic than the one with inna or lam alone. So this is the purpose of it, for extra emphasis. But yani the lam has to be moved from the mubtada to the khabar. They gave us examples of that. We're going to see examples today in exercise number 8. The third point is the particle qad is prefixed to the verb both madi and mudari. It's used with madi and mudari. As far as in the madi, it has one meaning. It denotes ta'akid, certainty, definiteness. And we're going to see this in exercise 9. In the second exercise we're going to do today, exercise 9, we're going to see this. Yani in the past tense, it has one meaning, ta'akid. In the present tense, it has three possible meanings. Ash-shak wal-ihtimal, means it's something doubtful, but it's possible. The second meaning is at-taqleel. It's something that happens a little, sometimes. It's rare. It's not that common. And the third possible meaning is tahqiq. Yani that something definitely did happen. The fourth point that we're going to look at today is the particle lakin, which we studied in book 2, lesson 3. It's a sister of inna. And as such, yani inna is used with a jumla ismiya, mubtada and khabar. The mubtada becomes ismu inna and it's mansub, and so also with lakinna. Yani the mubtada after lakinna becomes ismu lakinna and mansub with fatha. That's what we learned in book 2, lesson 3. This particle, lakin, has shadda, but if it is sometimes used without shadda, that is, lakin, without shadda, and in this case it loses two of its characteristics. That's what we're going to look at today in exercise number 11. Yani that lakin, without shadda, it loses two of the characteristics of lakin. The first one is that the noun following it, the noun that follows it, it does not become mansub, and the second one is that it can also be used with a verbal sentence. Lakinna, inna wa akhawatuha, including lakinna, are not used with verbal sentences. The next point that we want to look at is on page 84, point number 6. It says, the kaf in ula'ika and tilka and thalika may be replaced with ki, yani ula'iki, or tilki, or thaliki, or kum, or kunna, according to whom you are speaking, yani in consideration of who you are speaking to. You can use the masculine singular, feminine singular, masculine plural, feminine plural on these, yani asma al-ishara, thalika, tilka, and ula'ika. And the Gazer gave us examples of all of that, and it said this is called tasarruf kaf al-khitab. Yani tasarruf means the kaf of khitab, that means the kaf that who you are addressing. If you are addressing an individual male, you can use ka. If it's an individual female, you can use ki. If it's a group of men, you can use kum. If it's a group of women, you can use kunna. So this is what is called tasarruf, yani the inflection of the kaf of khitab, the kaf that's used to represent the one you are addressing. This is optional, it's not obligatory to do so, but it's permissible to do so, and they gave us examples of that. And this kaf al-khitab is, we're going to look at it just briefly in exercise number 12. The next thing that comes in the English key is point number 7, which is on the bottom of page 84. The mudari form of the verb is sometimes used for the amr, for a command or imperative form, as in the Quran, in Surah to Saf, 61st Surah, 11th or 10th, 11th, and 12th ayat. particularly the indication, we have to actually look at these ayats together, 10, 11, and 12 from Surah 61, in order for the full context to be understood. But what is important here is the mudari is sometimes used for the purpose of indicating a command, an amr. And this came in the Quran in Surah As-Saff 61, ayats 10, 11, and 12. Here it just says to us, it says here, تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, which means believe in, yani, you all believe in Allah and His Messenger. What is intended is here is you all must believe in Allah and His Messenger. It's intended as a command. Here, تُؤْمِنُونَ is for آمِنُ. Yani Allah is saying, تُؤْمِنُونَ, you all believe in Allah. But what is intended is a command. You all must believe in Allah. And that is why يَغْفِرْ in the next ayat, yani in the ayat 12, yani this تُؤْمِنُونَ came in ayat 11, and in ayat 12, يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, yani is majzoom. And this is, it's majzoom because of al-jazm bit-talab, yani because of the command in ayat 11, so the verb that follows it, yani the talab of the, yani the talab is aminu, yani is the command to, yani believe, and so the verb, yani the jawab becomes majzoom, and that's why we say yaghfir lakum and not yaghfiru. In any case, the context of this ayat, which makes it a little bit more clear, is starts in ayat number 10. Please go back to ayat number 10 first when you look at this, and you'll see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min adhabin aleem. Yani, shall I, O you who believe, shall I direct you, appoint you to an exchange, a trade, that will save you from a terrible punishment? And then in the next ayat, Allah begins with what is mentioned here, تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. يعني تُؤْمِنُونَ, here the meaning of it, if you want to make this trade with Allah, it means you must believe in Allah and His Messenger and strive with your wealth and your lives in the way of Allah, and that is better for if you only knew. So here the point is that in the 11th ayat, it's the what the trade is, and in the 12th ayat is what will happen. يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَيُدْخِلُكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, to the end of the ayat. And so the point is that in ayat 10, Allah is saying, shall I direct you to a trade that will save you from a terrible punishment? And then in ayat 11, He tells you what that trade is, that you must believe in Allah and His Messenger and strive in the way of Allah with your wealth and your lives. And then in the last ayat 12, the following ayat, Allah mentions what will be, yani what you will receive. Then Allah, يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبُكُمْ وَيُدْخِلُكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, Allah will forgive your sins and He will admit you into paradise. So that's going to, yani that came, yani in the exercises, this is point number 7 in the English key, came in the exercises in exercise number 13. So we're not going to look at it in detail there because I've just yani explained it here. The next point of the English key is point number 8 on the top of page 85. One of the masdar patterns is fi'alatun. For example, from the verb ada ya'udu is iyadatun, visiting the sick. From qara'a yaqra'u is qira'atun. So we're going to see that in exercise number 14. Examples of that and exercises with that. Point number 9 is muliyun, means a lapse or passing of time. And this is the masdar from mada yamdi. It is on the pattern of fu'ulun and is originally muduyun. Yani the root letters are meem, bad, and alif maksura, which in the mudari becomes ya. So it originally, it is from mada, becomes on the pattern of fu'ulun, the first radical taking dhamma, second radical taking dhamma elongated by waw. Fu'ulun became muduyun. But because of the final ya, yun, the waw has been changed to ya to be appropriate for it. So it became mudu with a ya, muduyun. And the dhamma and du to be appropriate with the ya that it was changed, the waw that was changed to ya, that dhamma is changed to kasra, now it became mudiyun. Okay, so it says here what? Because of the final ya, the waw has been changed to ya. and the Dhamma of the Dad subsequently changed to Kesra, and the word became Mudiyun. Okay, we're going to see this in exercise number 15, just brief mentioning of it. The next point is point number 10, the broken plural pattern, Fa'alilu, Fa'alilu, like Dafatiru and Fanadiku. This is called Muntaha al-Jumu'. And also the same title is applied to not only Fa'alilu, but in the footnote number 1, it says it's also applied to Fa'alilu. Yani A with yani elongation of the Fatah, and Lil with elongation of the Kasra. Fa'alilu. Both of them are called yani Muntaha al-Jumu'. So we're going to look at this broken plural pattern, fa'alilu, which is called Muntaha al-Jumu', and its singular form has four letters. It has four letters, like funduk and daftar. Yani this broken plural pattern is used for nouns that originally have four letters. But if the plural of a word with more than four letters is formed in this pattern, yani the singular form of the word has more than four letters, then when we use this pattern for a plural form, only four letters are retained. Okay, because this is a broken plural pattern that's used for words that have four letters. If a word has more than four letters, then the extra, more than the letters that are above four, are some of them are deleted, and only four letters are used to formulate yani the plural from this pattern. So only four letters are retained in the plural and the rest are dropped. For example, barnamajun has six letters, meaning program. It has six letters. Its plural is baramij. Note that the letter noon and the letter aleph, yani after barnamajun, the noon and the aleph have been dropped. Here are some more examples. Yani safarjalun has been put into the plural form after deleting the lam, because it has five letters, so the lam was deleted, became safarij, safariju. And likewise, anqabutun, which has six letters, the last two letters, the waw and the ta, are deleted, so the plural became anaqibun, on the pattern of fa'alilu. Andalibun, nightingale, has also six letters, so the last two letters are deleted here, the ya and the ba, became anadilu. And mustashfa, yani hospital, has six letters, so the two of the letters, the second and third letter after the meme, the seen and the ta, are deleted, and the plural is formed from the four remaining letters, the meme, the sheen, the fa, and the alif maksura. Mashafin, if it has alif lam, it became al-mashafi, and it's a ism manqus. This we're going to see in exercise number 16. We'll go over that again in exercise number 16. And the final point is point number 11, which we're going to see in the last exercise, exercise 17. And this is related to the plural of khati'atun is khataya. So this pattern, yani of khataya as a plural, we're going to see other examples of this on the pattern of fa'ala. And here are some examples of this pattern. Hadiyatun, a gift, became hadaya. And maniyatun, death, became manaya. And zawiyatun, an angle or corner, became zawaya. And that's the end of yani the English key. These are the points that we're going to be looking at exercises for today. Points 2 through 11 of the English key. And we're going to start right now. After having reviewed all of those points, we're going to go back to the exercise that we left off with last week, exercise number 8, and proceed from there. Proceed from exercise number 8 on page 168. So exercise number 8 on page 168, it says, it gives us the example, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah is forgiving, merciful. هذه لام الابتداء يعني دخلت على خبر إن يعني this is لام الابتداء that originally is used with the مبتدا, but because of إن now coming into the sentence, it's moved to the, it enters upon the خبر of إن. إن المكسورة يعني إن with كسرة. وتسمى حينئذ لام المزهلقة, And now it is called, instead of Lam al-Ibtida'i, instead of it being called Lam al-Ibtida'i, now it became known as Al-Lam al-Muzahlaqa. Okay? And then they give us five examples here. Some of these examples are the same as the examples that they gave us in the English key. So, alhamdulillah, I didn't read the examples in the English key because they're pretty much the same examples. I'm going to read them now. The first example they gave us, yani this is when Lam al-Ibtida is moved to the Khabar, because Inna comes into play here. So the Khabar of Inna now takes that Lam and it becomes known as Al-Lam al-Muzahlaqa. And it's used for emphasis. So when it's used with Inna, there's double emphasis, more emphasis than if it was used alone or if Inna was used alone. So they gave us from Surah Al-Safat, 37th Surah, 4th Ayat, Inna ilahakum lawahidun. Indeed, your ilah is definitely one. Yani, unique. Without any partner or associate or anything equal or comparable to him. Inna ilahakum, indeed your ilah, whom you worship, lawahidun, is definitely only one single unique yani ilah that deserves to be worshipped. Okay, number two. Wa inna awhana al-buyuti labaytu al-ankabut. Yani from Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th, Surah 41st ayat. And indeed, awhana al-buyut, the most weakest or the most frail of all houses, is definitely the house of the ankabut, the spider. Okay, so we have inna awhana, indeed, the frailest, the weakest of houses is labaytu al-ankabut. La here is the emphasis, the lam al-muzahlaqa, and he is definitely the house of the spider, is the weakest or the frailest of houses. The third example they gave us is from Surah Al-Luqman, 31st Surah, 19th Ayat, Inna ankar al-aswati la sawtul hamir. Indeed, the anchor, any most evil or ugly or any sound, the harshest, that's how they translate here. Indeed, the harshest of all voices is the voice of the donkey. Inna ankar al-aswat. Yani the harshest, the most ugly, the most evil of voices is the voice or the sound of the donkey. Here, the first emphasis is with inna. Indeed, definitely, ankara, yani the most evil or harshest or filthy or ugliest of voices is La Saut Al Hamir, yani definitely the voice of the donkey. The third example they gave us is, the fourth example is from Surah Al Waqiyah, 56th Surah, 77th Ayat, Innahu La Quranun Kareemun. Innahu La Quranun Kareemun. Indeed, it is. Yani that which Allah sent down is a Qur'an Kareem, a noble, Qur'an, reading or recitation. Yani, so again, innahu, definitely it is, what? It is definitely a, surely, certainly, a noble Qur'an. The fifth example and last example is from Surah Ali Imran, the third Surah, 96 ayat. Inna awwala baytin wudhi'a لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ. Indeed, the first of houses that have been placed in the earth, that has been built upon the earth, that has been established in the earth for worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the people to worship in, لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ, is that one which is at Bekka or Mecca. Yani Bekka being another name for Mecca. So the first emphasis is indeed the first of houses that have been placed or established in the earth for people to worship Allah in is Al-Ladhi bi-Bakkata. Lal-Ladhi, yani definitely, certainly the one that is at Bekka or Mecca. Okay, so these are examples of yani the lam that's used for emphasis, yani being removed from the Mubtada and being yani replaced to the khabar when inna is introduced into the sentence, and this is for double emphasis. Okay, after this is exercise number 9. It says, the example they gave us is قَدْ فَاتَتْكَ دُرُوسٌ. Indeed, certainly, definitely, many lessons have passed you by. يعني دُرُوسٌ كَثِيرٌ. The explanation, إِذَا دَخَلَتْ قَدْ عَلَى الْفِعْلِ الْمَاضِي أَفَادَتْ التَّأْكِيدِ. يعني whenever the particle قَدْ enters upon or is used with the past tense verb al-fi'l madi, afadat ta'akid. The benefit that it gives us is the benefit of ta'akid, of certainty, of definiteness, of whatever is the meaning of that yani verb that is being used with. That whatever that verb means, yani it gives us ta'akid, certainty, definiteness of the meaning. Now, so keep in mind, so then they give us the example. For example, قَدْ وَسَلَتْ الطَّائِرَةُ. Yani, indeed, certainly, definitely, the plane has arrived. The plane has arrived. There's no doubt about it. Yani, this is ta'keed. When قَدْ is used with the past tense, it means it has certainly, definitely happened. Another example, قَدْ فُتِحَ بَابُ الْمَكْتَبَةِ. Yani, definitely, the door of the maktaba, of the library or the bookstore, has been opened. Definitely, it has been opened. This is the meaning of قَد, the particle قَد. When it is used with a past tense verb, it's used for ta'akid, certainty, definiteness that this action has occurred. وَإِذَا دَخَلَتْ عَلَى فِعْلِ الْمُضَارِعِ أَفَادَتْ. And if it is entered upon or used with a mudari verb, أَفَادَتْ, the benefit that it gives us is three things. They mentioned two of them here, but in the English key that we just went over, we know that they mentioned three of them. The third of them is the first meaning that came with the use of qad with the past tense, ta'akid, or as they mentioned in the English key for the present tense, they gave it the meaning of tahqiq, which also means that something definitely, certainly, surely happened, or is any happening. The example that they give us for the first meaning of qad, when it's used with the mudari verb, the first possible meaning is ash-shak wal-ihtimal, yani that there's doubt and there's also possibility. There's doubt about it, we're not certain, but it's possible. For example, qad ya'udu al-mudiru ghadan, yani the mudir may return tomorrow. Yani, there's doubt, we're not certain, but it's possible. قَدْ يَعُودُ. It's possible, and we're not sure, but it's possible he may return. The second example they gave us, قَدْ يَنْزِلُ الْمَطَرُ الْيَوْمَ. قَدْ يَنْزِلُ, with the mudari, it has this possible, the meaning of الشَّك وَالْإِحْتِمَال, meaning we're not sure, there's doubt. شَك means doubt, right? But it is possible that it may rain الْيَوْمَ today. Yani, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. يعني بمشيئة الله, if Allah wills. And that's how the Muslim weathermen say, they said, يعني it may rain today, inshallah. The kafirs just say, it's going to rain today. But this is the meaning, the first meaning of قد, when it's used with the mudari verb, الشك, doubt, and الاحتمال, but possibility. Another example they gave us on the top of page 169, قد يأتي المدير غدا. The mudir may come tomorrow. He may come. It's doubtful. We're not sure. We're not certain. But it's possible that he may come. He may come tomorrow. A, يمكنه أن يأتي غدا. يعني it is possible that he may come. That's the meaning of احتمال here. يعني that it's possible that something may happen. There's a possibility even though we are not certain. So this is why this first meaning is called ash-shak wal-ihtimal, because there's doubt about this thing. Is it going to happen? But it is possible. The second meaning that they give here in the Arabic part of the book, in the exercise number 9, is ba at-taqleel. And we're reading on the top of page 169. The second possible meaning of qad when it's used with the mudari verb is at-taqleelu. Yani meaning that it's a little. There's a little chance of it, but it could happen. It doesn't happen that much, but it's possible. Sometimes it happens, even though it's qaleel, yani at-taqleel. For example, قَدْ يَنْجَحُ الطَّالِبُ الْكَسْلَانُ, yani the lazy student, الطالب الكسلان, قَدْ يَنْجَحُ, may sometimes pass. أي أحياناً ينجح الطالب الكسلان, يعني قد ينجح means أحياناً هو ينجح, يعني sometimes the lazy student may pass. So this is called, the second meaning is called التقليل, or يعني it happens rarely. That's all they gave us here in the Arabic for this exercise number 9. But going back to the English key, remember they gave us a third meaning. That was in the third point of the English key. And the third point begins on page 82. But this matter is mentioned in the continuation on the following page, top of page 83. It says, yani the mudari denotes one of the following things. Ash-shak wal-ihtimal, which we just explained. At-taqleel, rarity, which we also explained. And then they said, certainty, at-tahqiq, as in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Saf, 61st Surah, 5th Ayat, وَقَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ وَقَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Here's the particle قَدْ being used with the mudari verb, قَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ. While you know for certain, with certainty, tahqiq, you know for sure that I am the Messenger of Allah to you. So here's the third possible meaning of قَدْ when it's used with the mudari, التحقيق, يعني something that is يعني certain, there's certainty about it, it's for sure. Okay, this is the end of exercise number 9. Now we go to exercise number 10 in the English key. It's point number 4 on page 83. It says here, ذَوُ الْقُرْبَى, يعني those who possess relations, يعني your near relatives. So ذَوُ is the plural of ذُو. يعرب إعراب الجمع المذكر السالم. Its إعراب is the إعراب of the masculine sound plural. الجمع المذكر السالم. Its إعراب is the same as the جمع مذكر السالم. And the, if we remember the إعراب of the جمع مذكر السالم, it is a secondary, يعني it has secondary signs of إعراب. يعني when it is مرفوع, it has واو. When it's منصوب and مجرور, it has يا. So the word ذو, the plural of ذو, has the same إعراب as the sound masculine plural. Keep in mind that its singular ذو is from أسماء الخمسة, and it's always used in إضافة, and it has the secondary إعراب too, but its إعراب, the singular ذو, is the إعراب of the أسماء الخمسة when they are in إضافة, and that is when they are مرفوعاً, they have واو, when they are منصوب, they have ألف, ذا. And when they are majroor, they have ya, the. Okay, that's for the singular word ذو. As far as its plural, masculine plural, ذو, its إعراب is secondary إعراب too, but not like its singular. Its إعراب is the إعراب of the sound masculine plural. When it's مرفوع, it has واو. When it's منصوب and majroor, it has ya. And then they gave us some examples here. Three examples for ذو. The first of them, ذو القرباء أحق بمساعدتك. ذو القرباء, those who possess nearness of relations have a greater right. أحق بمساعدتك, they have a greater right of help and aid from you. And note that the word مساعدة is the masdar on the pattern of مفاعلة from the باب فاعلة. يعني ساعدة يساعد مساعدة with تاء مبوتة. So in this particular case, يعني they said that this word ذو here is مرفوع بالواو. يعني it's the مبتدا. مبتدا is مرفوع. The sign of it being مرفوع here is واو because this is a secondary sign. يعني because it has the same إعراب of the sound masculine plural. The second example they gave us is جالس ذوي العلمي. جالس ذوي العلمي. يعني sit with. This is a command. جالس from the باب فاعلة. From the باب فاعلة, right? From جالس يجالس, the fil amr is جالس, sit with those who possess علم. This is the plural, yani the plural of ذو, those who possess علم. And here they said ذوي is منصوب بالياء, it's منصوب with ياء, and that's because it's the مفعول به, the object of the verb جالس, مفعول به is منصوب. sign of it being mansub here is ya, secondary sign from the signs, secondary signs of the jam mudhakkar sound. The third example they gave us here is hadhihi masakinu at-tullabi dhawi a'ilati. And these are the housing units of the students who dhawi al-a'ilati, those who, the students who possess, yani families, the students who have families. This is the sakin, the masakin, the housing units for the students who possess families. And here they said dhawi is majrur, majrurun bil ya'i, yani it's majrurun, and the sign of being majrur is the secondary sign ya, which is the sign of jar for the sound masculine plural. In this particular sentence, dhawi is a not for a tulab, and tulab is yani mudaf ila masakin, masakin at tulab, so tulab is mudaf ilayhi majrur. Dhawi is a not for tulab, so it's also majrur. The sign of it being majrur is ya, which is the secondary sign yani for the sound masculine plurals. The next example that they give us, it says wa mithlu dhawu is ulu, yani just like the plural of dhu, dhawu, just like dhawu has the i'rab of the sound masculine plural, so just like it is ulu, ulu ma'nan wa i'raban. Yani in other words, ulu is like dhawu in its meaning, it has the same meaning as dhawu, ma'nan wa i'raban, it has the same type of i'rab as dhawu. So what they're saying here, mithlu dhawu is ulu, yani ulu is just like dhawu in its meaning, ma'nan, and in its i'rab, that it has the i'rab of the sound masculine plural. Fi surah al-Nahl, and they give us the example in surah al-Nahl, 27th surah, 33rd ayat. قَالُوا نَحْنُ أُولُو الْقُوَّةٍ وَأُولُو بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ. We are those who possess, yani أُولُو قُوَّة, we possess great strength. وَأُولُو بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ, and we also yani have the ability to cause yani great harm yani to our enemies. All right, so this is dhawu, the plural of dhu, has the same i'rab as the sound masculine plurals. Exercise number 11 comes in the English key as point number 5 on the bottom of page 83, and we discussed it in our introduction to this session. What is important here, it says arafta anna lakinna with shadda on the noon. You already came to know that lakinna is min akhawati inna, it's from the sisters of inna, yani meaning that it works like inna, it's used with a jumla ismiya, mubtada and khabar, and when inna or its akhawat, in this case lakinna, is introduced to a jumla ismiya, the mubtada becomes ismu lakinna and it becomes mansoob, and the khabar becomes khabru lakinna, remains marfoon. So for example, they said taqulu, you say hamidun mujtahidun, hamid is a mujtahid, diligent, hard working one. Lakinna sadiqahu kaslanu, but his friend, his sadiq, is lazy. So here we see that yani with lakinna from the akhawatu inna with shadda on the noon, yani its ism sadiqa is mansub with fatha, sadiqahu kaslanu, and its khabar is marfoon with dhamma, kaslan is mamnoon on the surf, so it doesn't take tanween. So this is what we learned previously, that lakinna from akhawatu inna is used with the jumla ismiya, and it makes the mubtada become its ism and it becomes mansub. However, إِذَا خُفِّفَتْ lakinna, but if lakinna yani is lightened, meaning the shadda of the noon is removed, خُفِّفَتْ yani became khafif, وَأُحْمِلَتْ, and it also yani if it became yani khafif, yani إِذَا خُفِّفَتْ lakinna أُحْمِلَتْ, then it becomes inoperative, yani it doesn't work the same way as it works when it has shadda. وَدَخَلَتْ عَلَى جُمْلَتَيْنِ الْإِسْمِيَّةِ وَالْفِعْلِيَّةِ, and it also can now be introduced or used with both sentences, the jumla ismiya and the jumla fi'liya. So what's the point here? لَكِنَّ, we know it's from akhawatu inna, it's used with the jumla ismiya, it makes its ism become mansoob. However, it says إِذَا خُفِّفَتْ لَكِنَّ أُهْمِلَتْ, so if it is becomes khafif, yani the shadda is removed from it, then it becomes inoperative in terms of it doesn't affect the noun following it, making it mansub. It doesn't do that. And the second thing is that it's not limited to a jumla ismiya, but now it may be used with both types of sentences, the jumla ismiya and the jumla fi'liya, the nominal sentence and the verbal sentence. For example, and they give us here four examples, okay? So, in each of these examples, they're showing us لَكِنَّ without the shadda, which means that it's not going to make the noun following it mansub. That's one of the points. And the second thing we're going to see that it's used with a jumla fi'liya as well. As opposed to lakinna, it does make the noun following it mansub, and it's limited to use with the jumla ismiya. So we're going to see two examples of each of these, one in a regular sentence and one from the Quran. For the first point, that it does not, and when it loses its shadda, it does not make the noun following it mansub. They gave us sentence number one, ja'a al-mudarrisu lakin at-tullabu ma ja'u. Yani here, lakin has sukoon, but because it's followed by hamzatul wasl, they put a kasra here to eliminate the meaning of two sakin letters, the iltiqa as-sakinain, right? We're saying, ja'a al-mudarrisu, the teacher came, lakin at-tullabu, but the students, ma ja'u, didn't come. Here we see, at-tullabu, it didn't become mansub, because lakinna, when its shadda is removed, it doesn't affect the noun following it. Uhmilat, it becomes inoperative in terms of affecting the noun that follows it. The second example they gave us from the Quran, fit tanzeel, and that which has been revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 38th ayat, لكن الظالمون اليوم في ضلال مبين. لكن الظالمون. Here we see لكن without the shadda. And the kasra is added here just because of the same reason in the previous example, iltiqa sakinain. So to eliminate the meaning of two sakin letters, there's a kasra placed here. But no shadda, and therefore the noun following it is not affected. It doesn't become mansub. A valimuna is marfu'un. Sign of being marfu'un is wow, because it's a jem mudhakkar salim, yani a sound masculine plural. Lakin al-valimuna al-yawma fi dhalal al-mubin. But the wrongdoers, the oppressors, the valimun today are in clear misguidance. The second, I guess they give two examples under number one and two examples under number two. It's really the third example, but anyway, they have numbered the first two as one, and they're numbering the second two, three and four as two. Example from normal sentence, ordinary speech, and an example from the Quran. So under number two, and the second, okay, so I guess they're numbering them as in terms of the two points related to lakin when it loses the shadda. The first point is it doesn't affect the noun that follows it, and they gave us the example of that from normal speech and an example from the Quran. And now the second point is that it can be used with a jumla fi'liya. It's not limited to the jumla ismiya, and they gave us two examples of that point. Second point, first from ordinary speech and then from the Quran. From the ordinary speech, they gave us غَابَ عَلِيٌّ لَكِنْ حَضَرَ أَحْمَدُ. Yani Ali was absent, but Ahmed was present. So here we see lakin being used with a jumla fi'liya. Lakinna is only used with a jumla ismiya. The second example is from the Quran, wa fit tanzeel, and that which has been revealed. Walakin la yash'urun. But they do not, yani they are not aware. They don't feel it. They are not conscious of it. They don't know it. This, yani, came in the Quran in the second surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, 154th. Ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَن يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَاكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Came at the end of Ayat 154 in Surah Al-Baqarah. Don't say about those who have been killed in the way of Allah that they are dead. لَا تَقُولُوا لِمَن يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ. Rather, they are alive. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. They are alive, but you all do not know. You're not conscious of it. You're not aware of it. You don't know that they are actually alive. Okay, this is لَكِنَّ, exercise number 11. Exercise number 12, on the top of page 170. Exercise number 12 came in the English key, point number 6 on page 84, near the top of the page, where they explained to us that the ism ishara ذَلِكَ and تِلْكَ and أُولَئِكَ. All of these ism ishara for things that are far, masculine, feminine, singular, and plural. That the kaf in these can be replaced ka to ki for feminine singular, kum masculine plural, kunna feminine second person plural, and they gave us examples for all of them. And then they said this is called tasarruf kaf al khitab, yani the inflection of the kaf, yani in dhalika and tilka and ulaika, its inflection being changed, which is optional, to indicate or in consideration of who is being addressed. And they gave us some good examples in the English key. Since we read them previously, I didn't read them today because we were just doing a quick review. But let's go to the Arabic exercise number 12. It says, ذَلِكُمْ, this is the kaf al-khitab, ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, that is better for you all. Yani it says, يَجُوزُ, yani it's permissible, it's optional. فِي كَاف الْخِطَابِ, in the kaf, that indicates the one who's being addressed. Ka or ki or kum or kunna. In the ism ishara ذَلِكَ, and in the ism ishara tilka, and as it came in the English key, also in the plural of both of them, which is أُولَئِكَ. This kaf, known as kaf al-khitab, it says what? يَجُوز فِي كَاف الْخِطَابِ تَصَرُّف, yani inflection, yani changing the kaf to indicate who's being addressed. The second person. Is it masculine? Is it feminine? Is it singular, dual, or plural? So it says, كاف الخطاب, يجوز كاف الخطاب في التصرف, وما نتصرف, what is permissible? يعني this تصرف, what does it mean? He said it means, أن يراعى المخاطب, يعني that you give consideration, you take into account, يعني المخاطب, the one who is being addressed, who is being spoken to. Is it a man? Is it a woman? Is it a individual, singular, plural? Yani taking this is the meaning of tasarruf. Yani wa ma'na tasarruf an yura'a al-mukhatab, that the one who is being addressed is taken into consideration. Is it a male or a female, an individual or a group of people? Okay, this is the meaning of tasarruf. So this tasarruf, considering who's being addressed, is it masculine, feminine, singular, plural? Is yajuz, it's permissible in the kaf of khitab, yani the kaf in ذَلِكَ, تِلْكَ, أُولَئِكَ. Okay, and then they give us these examples. لِمَنْ ذَلِكُمْ الدَّفْتَرُ يَا إِخْوَانُ, to whom belongs that notebook, O brothers? Since he's speaking to a group of males, يَا إِخْوَانُ, so the kaf al-khitab expresses that, takes into consideration that. Yani that it's a group of males, so instead of لِمَنْ ذَلِكَ الدَّفْتَرُ, لِمَنْ ذَلِكُمْ الدَّفْتَرُ, because who is being addressed is a group of males. The second example they gave us, أَقَرَأْتِ تِلْكِ الْمَجَلَّةَ يَا آمِنَةُ, did you read that magazine, O Amina? Here, يَا آمِنَة lets us know that an individual female is being addressed in consideration of that. That's the meaning of يَجُوز التَّصَرُّف, yani to consider who's being addressed. It's an individual female, so the pronoun for the second person feminine singular, ki, is used here instead of tilka, tilki. أقرأتي tilki المجلتة يا آمينتو. Those are the two examples that they gave us here. And the other examples we saw before, you can go back and look at them in the English key just for the sake of time. I don't know how time is going to go today. But there are good examples in the English key under this particular matter, point number 6 on page 84. One of those examples, I'll just read one of them because it's so, and it's a beautiful example. The example from Surah to Maryam, 19th Surah, 21st Ayat, that's the example in the English key under point number 6, the bottom half of the page, 84. It says, وَنُودُوا أَن تِلْكُمْ تِلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةُ أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. It will be announced to them. وَنُودُوا, it will be called out and announced to them. أَنَّ تِلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةُ, this paradise you have inherited. أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, for what you used to do. This is from Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 43rd Ayah. What is important here that I want to note, and I'll just do this quickly, but it is a very, very important point. It says, this paradise you have inherited. Yani tilka is used, yani referring to that which is far. Anyway, they have translated as this, that paradise, whichever. Yani that you have inherited. You have inherited it. Bima kuntum ta'amaloon. Yani, for what you used to do. Yani, the scholars of tafsir of the people of Sunnah have made a clear, distinction between be here being used for be a thamaniya, which means that you got this paradise as the price, yani as the price that you paid was the deeds that you did. And the scholars of Sunnah said, no, it's not the price that you paid. You don't get paradise by doing good deeds, but here it's the be here, instead of al-ba' al-thamaniya, it's not ba' al-thamaniya, it's ba' al-sababiyya. Yani as a result of you having done good deeds, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you paradise out of His mercy and His favor. Not because you paid the price and you earned it and you deserve it and you have a right to it. Rather, it is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the people of Jannah. And because of their good deeds, Allah will pardon and forgive their mistakes and errors. And He will enter them into paradise by His rahmah. Yani He will enter them into paradise by His rahmah due to them doing good deeds. Yani bisababi, ba as-sababiyya, because of them doing good deeds. But however, the entry into paradise is really by the rahmah of Allah and the fadl of Allah, and not as a price that they have paid. Yani both al-Imam Abdurrahman al-Sa'di and al-Hafidh ibn Kathir in their tafsirs of this ayat, yani Surah Maryam 19:21, both of them have explained this particular point, that a person will enter paradise as a result of bisababi amalihim, yani as a result of their deeds, they earned the rahmah of Allah, the fadl of Allah, and therefore they entered paradise by Allah's favor and by His mercy, not just because they paid the price because of the good deeds they did. I just wanted to mention this. I thought the ayat is so very beautiful, and it's a point of aqidah for the Muslims that nobody will enter paradise by their deeds alone. When they said to the Prophet, wala anta ya Rasulullah, yani not even you, and he said, وَلَا أَنَا إِلَّا يَتَغَمَّدَنِي اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ وَفَضْلِهِ, unless Allah showers me, smothers me, covers me with His mercy and His rahmah. Okay, let's go on, so make sure that we finish on time today. Bismillah. The next exercise is exercise 13, and this is covered in the English key. This is covered in the English key, point number 7 on the bottom of page 84. We discussed it a little bit in the introduction to our session today. It says, point number 13, يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Yani note here in Surah Al-Saf, yani ayat 12. Because I mentioned it's in ayat 10, 11, and 12. This is ayat 12. Says يغفر لكم. Notice that the mudari verb is مجزوم. هنا يغفر مجزوم بالطلب. يعني it's مجزوم because of يعني الجزم بالطلب. يعني that a mudari verb becomes مجزوم because it's preceded by a طلب. يعني by a command or by a prohibition or by استفهام. All right, مجزوم بالطلب. ذلك لأن تؤمنون. That is because in the previous verse 61:11. The meaning of the mudari verb tu'minuna fil ayat as-sabiqa bimana aminu. Yani yaghfir lakum, yani the verb is majzum because in the previous ayat there's a talab. So it's majzum bit talab. The talab is the command to believe. Although the command to believe came here in the mudari form tu'minuna, but what is intended is the amra aminu. Aminu. And we discussed it previously. If you go back and look, you'll see that the 10th ayat really opens this subject where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh, you believe, shall I direct you to yani a bargain which will save you from a terrible punishment? And then in the next ayat he mentions that their bargain is that you must believe in Allah and strive in His way with your wealth and your lives, and that is better for you if you only knew. And then in the following ayat, the answer to that, if you do that, then Allah will forgive you your sins. يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَيُدْخِلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ, and He will admit you into gardens of paradise underneath which rivers flow. So the point here is what? You need the summary of this exercise number 13. Exercise number 13 is not really an exercise, it's just an explanation telling us that sometimes, as we saw in the English key, the mudari is used to have the meaning of al-amr, the command form. And yani, so the verb yaghfir became majzum because in the previous ayat there's a mudari verb that is intended to have the meaning of aminu, a fi'l amr. And the amr is one of the types of talab that makes the verb, which is its jawab that comes after it, majzum. The point is what? Sometimes a mudari verb is used to have the meaning of al amr. Okay, let's go to exercise number 14. And exercise number 14 in the English key came as point number 8 on the top of the final page of the English key, page 85. Top of page 85, exercise number 8, it just tells us that the masdar pattern, that one of the masdar patterns that is new for us here is fi'alatun. And they gave us iyadatun and kira'atun. So here in exercise number 14 on page 170, it says iyadatun is masdarun from ada ya'udu. Iyadatun is a masdar from the verb ada ya'udu, which means to visit a sick person. Yani bima'na, the meaning of ada ya'udu, it means zara al-marid. Yani that he visited a sick person. Ada means he what? Zara al-marid. Wa huwa ala wazn fi'ala. And it is on the wazn, the scale or the pattern of fi'ala, meaning the first radical represented by fa takes kasra. The first root letter takes kasra. The second root letter takes fatha, elongated by aleph. And the third root letter takes fatha, followed by an added letter, ta marbuta. The first root letter takes kasra. The second root letter takes fatha, added, elongated by aleph. The third root letter must take fatha all the time. Any letter that ends with, followed by Ta-Marbuta, the letter before Ta-Marbuta is always Fatha. Ta-Marbuta is always preceded by Fatha. So this pattern, Fi-A-La. Yani it has Ta-Marbuta on the end. Alright? Okay, so then it just says, Hati, the exercise says, Hati al-Masdar min al-Af'al al-Atiya ala wazni fi'ala. Give the Masdar, the infinitive, of the following verbs on the wazn or the pattern of fi'alatun. So from darasa, you get dirasatun. The root letters are del, ra, and sin. The first root letter represented by ayn takes kasra. The second root letter represented, the first root letter represented by fa, yani in darasa it's the del, it takes kasra. The second root letter represented by ayn, in this case, it's ra, takes fatha aleph. The third root letter, represented by lam, in this word, it's seen, takes fatha, followed by ta marbuta. So from darasa, you get dirasa, dirasa, studies. From kataba, kaf, ta, ba, on the pattern of fi'ala, kitabatun, writing. From zara, yazuru, yani, you get ziyaratun, ziyaratun, on the pattern of fi'alatun. The next one is qara'a. Oh, let me just say here that just in case it's not crystal clear, and probably may not be crystal clear to everyone, from zara, yani the verb zara yazuru, the middle radical is a waw. Huh? In the masdar pattern, that waw became a ya. So the first radical is zay. The second radical originally is a waw. Here it's going to be replaced by ya, and the third radical is ra. So fi'alatun from zay ya ra became ziyaratun. From qara'a yaqra'u to read, you get qaf ra hamza qira'atun, reading. From walada yalidu, yani waw lam del on the pattern of fi'ala, became wiladatun, giving birth. And from rawa, yani yarwi, rawa means to narrate something, we get from, yani ra is the first radical, waw is the second radical, and ya is the third radical, we get rawa, yani riwaya, riwayatun, riwayatun, yani a narration. Like riwayatun an Abi Huraira, yani narration from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and so on. Okay, exercise number 15 is explained in the English key, point number 9, which we already looked at, yani how, yani the pattern is fool from mada. It should have been muduyun, but it became mudiyun. So here they give us the any similar explanation. Yani says mudiyun is a master from mada yamdi. Mada yamdi. So the root letters are mim, del, and alif maksur, which becomes ya. Alif maksur becomes ya. Mim, del, ya. Wa huwa ala wazn fu'ulun. So asluhu, its original form on the pattern of fu'ulun, should have been mim, ضاد يعني يا should have been مضويون. But as we explained previously, because of that ya on the end, they changed the wow before it to a ya, and because of the ya that they changed the wow to, yani they changed the dhamma to kasra, so that they all go together. So instead of مضويون, it became مضيون, and then the two ya's are brought together with shadda. Yani shadda can be used whenever you have a letter coming twice, back to back, as long as the first one has sukoon. As long as the first one has sukoon and the second one has a vowel. Okay, so that's what we explained in the English key in point number 9. Then it says, Hati masdara hawa yahwi. Yani hawa means to drop or to fall or to tumble. Hawa yahwi. Ala hadha al-wazn. Same wazn, yani, for this type of word, hawa. Like mada, yamdi, hawa, yahwi. Okay? So, the masdar for it should be huwiyun. Yani, on the pattern of fu'ul. Huwiyun. Originally, it should have been, yani, ha, waw, ya, hu, wuyun. But because of the ya on the end, the waw is changed before it is changed to a ya, and the dhamma on the first waw is changed to a kasra. So hu wu yun became hu wi yun. Hu wi yun. On the pattern of fu. Okay, after that is exercise number 16. Exercise number 16. Which came in the English key as point number 10, the broken plural pattern fa'alilu, fa'alilu, which is known as muntaha al-jumu', and it is a plural pattern used for words that originally, the original singular word has four letters. And if this broken plural pattern is used for a word that has more than four letters, then the extra letters are deleted. Only four of the letters would be used with this pattern. Some of them would have to be deleted. I don't know that there's any rule for knowing which ones are deleted. We just have to look up the plural, and then we'll see what was deleted if we see any of the plural for such a word that has five or more letters. Because this is a plural form, broken plural form. And broken plural means that any of the word is, any of their letters added in the middle somewhere, not just on the end, or in the beginning and middle and so on. So it's a broken plural pattern, and broken plurals, yani this broken plural pattern is mamnu min as-sarf. Not all broken plural patterns are mamnu min as-sarf, but this broken plural pattern is mamnu min as-sarf. The main thing that we need to know about it is that it's a broken plural pattern for words the singular form, words where the singular form has four letters. If a word has more than four letters, five or more, then it has to be reduced to four letters before we apply the letters that remain to this pattern of fa'alilu. The pattern means the first radical represented by fa takes fatta. The second radical represented by ayn takes fatta elongated by alif. The third radical takes kasra, and the fourth radical takes whatever is required, yani, from i'rab of, yani, its position in the sentence. Alright, so 16, we're on page 170, exercise, next to the last exercise, exercise number 16. It says here, barnamajun, barnamajun. Yani, program. Yani, a program. That somebody's having a program. Jam'uhu baramiju. Jam'uhu baramiju. With a single dhamma, mamnu min as-sarf. Yani, on the pattern of fa'alilu baramiju. إذا جمع الاسم الذي حروفه خمسة أو أكثر على صيغة منتهى الجموع حذف ما زاد على الأربعة. This is the rule here. يعني this is a broken plural pattern for words that have, in the singular form, have four or more letters. If they have four letters, then the pattern is equipped for four letters. So it's no problem. But he says here, إذا جمع الاسم الذي حروفه خمسة أو أكثر. But if the plural is formed for a word whose حروف, its letters are خمسة أو أكثر, five or more, على صيغة منتهى الجمع, on this pattern, منتهى الجمع, حذف ما زاد على الأربعة. Then whatever is over four letters has to be deleted before we use this pattern to formulate the plural. For example, سفرجلون, سفرجلون, which means a quince, any some kind of a hard, acidy, pear-shaped fruit. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I haven't seen the fruit. Or I've seen a picture of it, but I don't know what it is. I've never eaten it, seen it in person. Okay, so the word, yani the singular is سفرجلون. سفرجلون has five letters. So we have to reduce it to four in order to use this pattern. The Arabs have reduced the final letter, the lam. So they use the seen, the fa, the ra, and the jim. So the seen in the pattern is going to be the fa. And the fa in this word, in the pattern is going to be, in the pattern is going to be ayn. And the ra is going to be the first lam. And then the jim is going to be the last lam. And in terms of the pattern, fa'alilu. So the first radical takes fatha, the second radical takes fatha elongated by aleph, the third radical takes kasra. So if we have these four letters, seen, fa, ra, and jim, it became safariju. Safariju on the pattern of fa'alilu. Okay, the second one is anqabutun, which has six letters, ayn, noon, kaf, ba, waw, ta. We have to reduce it to four to use this pattern. They reduced it by removing the last two letters, the waw and the ta. So we ended up with ayn, noon, kaf, and ba. On the pattern of fa'alilu became anaqibu. The next word is andalib, which means the nightingale, a bird. Andalibun. It has six letters. So in this case as well, yani in order to reduce it to four, they remove the last two letters. Yani in the first example, they remove the last letter. In the second and third, this example, they remove the last two letters. Because the first example only had five letters, so they got rid of the last one. These two examples have six letters, so they got rid of the last two letters, but it's not always going to be the last two letters, but in this case it was the last two letters. And the libun, they reduced it before by getting rid of the ya and the ba. So we have ayn, noon, del, and lam became anadilu on the pattern of fa'alilu. Anadilu. The last example they gave us shows us that it's not always going to be the last letters that are reduced. Mustashfa also has six letters. In order to reduce it before, they got rid of the second and third letter, the seen and the ta. Allahu a'lam, but perhaps that's because yani the original root of the word is shafa, so they didn't get rid of the root letters, and they got rid of the extra letters which appear to be seen in ta, and they kept the meem so that it would have four letters. Anyway, the bottom line is they got rid of two letters, they got rid of the second and third letter, the seen and the ta. So they made it, they used the meem, the sheen, the fa, and the alif maksura, which becomes ya in the mudari, if it's a verb. They used those four letters and it became mashafin, if it has alif lam, al-mashafi, yani, would have been al-mashafiyu, but yani, because it's from, it's a ism manqus, so it became without alif lam, mashafin, with alif lam, al-mashafi, yani hospitals. Okay, from mustashfa. The last exercise 17, comes in the English key as the last point of the English key, point number 11 on the bottom of page 85. And in the English key, they told us that the plural of khati'atun is khataya. So this pattern, khataya, yani fa'ala, yani they gave us more examples of this, hadiyya, hadaya, maniyya, manaya, zawaya, I'm sorry, Zawiya, Zawaya, all of these having the same plural pattern. So here in the exercise number 17, it says تُجْمَعُ خَطِيئَةٌ عَلَى خَطَايَا. يعني the word خَطِيئَة, which means a sin or mistake or an error, the word خَطِيئَة, its plural is comes as خَطَايَا. And then it says اجْمَعْ الْأَسْمَاءَ الْآتِيَةَ هَذَا الْجَمْعِ, yani make plurals of the following nouns on this same gem, this same pattern as the same pattern as خَطَايَا, or yani فَعَالَ خَطَايَا. Alright, so the first word they gave us in the English key already, they gave us هَدِيَّةٌ is هَدَايَا, gifts. مَطِيَّةٌ they didn't give us in the English key. مَطِيَّةٌ is a riding animal or a mount, any a horse or a camel like this. Its plural is مَطَايَا. The next word they gave us is مَزِيَّةٌ, means a merit or a virtue of something. It's مَزِيَّة, it's virtue, it's excellence over other things. مَزِيَّةٌ, its plural is مَزَايَا, virtues or merits or excellences. سَرِيَّةٌ, سَرِيَّة is a military detachment, a raiding party, yani a small group of soldiers who go out to do a military yani engagement. سَرِيَّةٌ, its plural is سَرَايَا. The next word is شَظِيَّةٌ. Is it Shazia or Shatiya? In any case, Allah musta'an. Yani the plural of it is Shataya or Shavaya. Naam. The next word is Bariyatun. Bari, I need my glasses. Bariyatun is a land creature. Bariyatun. And its plural is Baraya. Its plural is Baraya. Baraya. The last word is zawiya. Zawiya means like yani an angle or a corner, yani like in the corner of a room. And its plural is zawaya. Zawaya. Naam. طيب, that's the end of what... that's the last exercise, the end of what we wanted to look at. Naam. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just wanted to go back and check again because my book, and it's the old copy that I'm reading from, and it's the print is not clear here. But yeah, so the word, the third word from the end, shaviyya, shaviyya, yani sheen, va, and ya, shaviyya, yani its plural is shafaya, yeah, shavaya, I'm sorry, with va, as in dhuhr, shavaya. Shavaya, it means yani, it means like a bone or something, yani a chip or a splinter. Yani the singular is shaviya and the plural is shavaya. Now, all right, that's all we want, that's what we wanted to cover for today. Bi-idhnillah ta'ala, next week inshallah we're going to be going on to a new lesson, lesson number 20. Okay, next week, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, we're going to be doing lesson number 20. Lesson number 20 is a relatively short lesson. It only has three grammatical points. A new bab of thulathi mazid, tafa'ala, like takallama and ta'allama. And it's going to give us the 8 points, the past tense, present tense, fi'l amr, masdar, ism fa'al, ism maf'ul, ism zaman, and ism makan. And the second point here is lamma hiniya. Lamma, that means when something has the meaning of time. yani when this happens, such and such and so and so. And the third point is al-ikhtisas. The word nahnu sometimes needs specification. So we're going to look at that point. Those are only 3 points that this lesson contains. The English key, I mean the dialogue, is only a page and a half. However, there are 13 exercises. So as far as the English key and the dialogue, if there were not 13 exercises, we could finish this in one session. But trying to rush through 13 exercises might be a bit much. So rather than do that, inshallah, I'm going to try to divide this lesson up evenly into 2 sessions. The English key, the dialogue, and a few of the exercises maybe. And then the remaining exercises we'll do in the following session. Rather than try to do 13 exercises in one session along with the English key and the Arabic dialogue, I think it's a bit much. Maybe if we had 2 hours, we might be able to do it. But in any case, rather than rush, no need to rush. Inshallah, I'm going to try to divide it up evenly so that we'll do half of lesson 20 in next week's session and the other half in the following session. Definitely for next week, we'll do the English key. That will be for homework. And the Arabic dialogue will definitely be for homework. And maybe a couple of the exercises. I'm not sure exactly. I'll see how we can divide it up somewhat evenly. Okay, so let's begin without delay. Start preparing, previewing lesson number 20, the English key, the Arabic dialogue, and the first few exercises. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He recognize, reward, and record our good deeds, that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat, to be firm and steadfast upon a sirat al-mustaqim, and to return to Him in a condition wherein we are pleasing to Him and please with Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant good health and well-being for those amongst us who are sick, and may He shower His mercy upon those who have passed away, and may He protect them from the punishment of the grave. May He make their graves spacious and fill them with light and admit them into His Jannah. Ameen.